מתעורר כוח משיח. הית הסמיר הגיע, זמי הריצים, הראשים נכחדים מן העולם, והעולם מתבשם. וכל התור נשמע בארצנו, היחידים הנספים בלא משפט, שבתוך המהפכה של שטף המלחמה, יש בה ממידת מיתת צדיקים המכפרת. עולים הם למעלה בשורש החיים, ועצמות חייהם מביא ערך כללי לטובה ולברכה, על כלל בניין עולם, בכל הרחב, ובמובניו. We saw last week at the beginning that in everything in life we have to look for the pnimiut. We have to understand what's at the core, not just on the surface. And at the core, the pnimiut of milchama is tzipia l'raglo shel Mashiach. We said that at the core of every war is really God's master plan for the world. They get closer and closer to the Mashiach is being more and more and more revealed. We spoke about the Eta Zamir Higia. We spoke of the two different lashonot of Zamir. Right, one is from the song of letting us know ahead, and the other was cutting down the Rishayim. I think that's where, more or less, where we left off in the middle, talking about who gets killed in wars. So this is a nice idea when we talk about the Rishayim getting knocked out and the world becoming a better place, and therefore the blossoming of the spring after the winter, so too in the world, after wiping out Rishayim, we're getting closer to the Gula, etc. Barzenu and Eretz Yisrael, and from there the entire world, Kimitzon Tetzei Torah, Dvar Hashem Yerushalayim. But we said, on the other hand, it's not only Rishayim that get killed in wars. And then we spoke about Tzadikim. So there he mentions the next line of Mitat Tzadikim HaMechaperet. We spoke about that both from the level of Nigla and from the level of Nistar. And I believe that we finish off with the question, which was, okay, now I understand the death of the Rishayim in the war, I understand the death of Tzadikim in the war, but what about everyone in between? What about Benoni, someone that's neither a Tzadik nor a Rasha? How does his death in war bring us closer to the revelation of Mashiach, and how does that work? So, 2.5 answers. So, answer number one is perhaps the most obvious, which is we don't know the cheshbonus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Who are we to say that this guy's not a tzaddik and not a rashi is exactly a Benoni? How do you know? How do you know every single thing the person does and what he really believes, you know, b'chadrei libav and the chambers of his heart? So you don't know every single thing. Number one. Number two is that when he says here, Rav Kook writes tzaddikim, he might not be talking about tzaddikim as righteous, but tzaddik in the lashon of innocent. Right? In the Torah we find that there's someone that is considered guilty, right? And someone that's considered innocent. Someone that's innocent is a tzaddik. It's tikkut a tzaddik. Yeshua tarasha doesn't mean that this guy's a tzaddik and he says more tilling with downs with more kavanah, the other guy's a rush. It means one's guilty, one's innocent. So here it could be the mitat tzaddikim is anyone that's innocent. In other words, that anyone that didn't deserve to die wasn't being punished. His death in the war wasn't punishment. He was innocent. And therefore, when there's people that are innocent that die, if the Gemara talks about the mitat ha-tzadikim ha-mechaperet, and when there's someone that's a tremendous tzaddik, and his death is able to bring kapara and elevate the world like we discussed last week, so one is just one person, so we're talking about a tzaddik. We're talking about thousands and thousands and thousands of innocent people that have done nothing wrong, and they die, not because they're at blame or they're in guilt. So then, all the neshamas, even though they're small neshamas, collectively, them coming up to Olam Haba, gives a general push in the world, and pushes the entire world up in the right direction. That's answer number two. The third answer, which is a half an answer, is Tshuva Nechatam Sofer. So the Chatam Sofer in his Tshuvot in Yeridah on Siman Shin Lam and Gimel, Shelek, has asked the following question. If you remember last week, we saw the Gemara in Ketuvot and Daf Lamed that says that even after the time of Beit Din, it's still Mitat Beit Din. Because how could there be such a thing? And they don't carry out Mitat Beit Din. He says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made sure that circumstantially that people were deserving of different types of death, the punishment will be carried out, etc. Remember the Gemara? So ask the Chatam Sofer, there's someone that asked the Chatam Sofer based on that, is that perhaps when a goy kills a Jew, when a Jew is killed by a goy, maybe that Jew, we shouldn't bury him in the cemetery together with everyone else. Why not? He's a Rasha. How do I know he's a Rasha? Based on the Gemara and Ketuvot. Because the Gemara and Ketuvot says everyone dies. It's the carrying out of the punishment. So if that's the case, when I see the person, he said this guy was murdered in a pogrom, whatever it was, he was murdered. Based on the Gemara Ketuvot, I should assume that he deserved to be killed for something he did wrong. It's like a sug of mita v'dei shemaim. If this person deserved to be killed, the same way that Haruge Beitin aren't buried in the Beit Kfarot together with everyone else, so too, this person shouldn't be buried. That was the Shaila that was asked of the Chatam Sofer. The Chatam Sofer says, Adarav of Adarav, on the contrary. And even if this guy that was killed by a non-Jew was a Rasha, by the mere fact that he was killed because he was a Jew, and he died, Al Kiddush Hashem, he now in his death is considered an Eved Hashem, and therefore there's nothing wrong with burying him in the cemetery. Now based on that, we have a third answer for here. Meaning, And the reason I said it's a half an answer, because it's only if a person is, if it's a Jew that's killed, right? But if I hear a Jew that's killed in a battle, and he's killed because he's a Jew, not circumstantial, because there's different wars between different armies fighting, and he's on the side that happened to be shot, etc. But if someone's in a war against Jews for the sake of being Jews, and then he's killed in such a war, so then his death itself would have a majority of a tzaddik, as the Chasam Sofer writes over there, and that could be another explanation of why there are no Beinonim. Okay? There's two different explanations. If so, we discuss the Roshayim that are killed, the Tzadikim that are killed, and the alleged Beinonim that are killed. Okay, so moving on from there, V'acharkach. Can we have it? V'acharkach. V'acharkach, K'tom ha-milchama, mitchadesh ha-olam beruach chadash, v'raglei mashiach mitkalim biyoter, lefi erkah shel godel ha-milchama, bekamuta, beichuta, kacha tigdal ha-tzipia, l'raglei mashiach shabah. He says at the end of the day, when the war's finished, then all of a sudden there's a newness in the world. And as we spoke about, the Raglaim and the Mashiach are revealed more and more. We have to remember that every single thing is the Ma'as of Hashem. Every single thing is Mechuvan. Everything is designed by God. There are different types of wars. There are wars that are big wars, and the wars that are even bigger wars. And the point that we're seeing here is that the bigger the war is, the more it's connected to the Mashiach. The bigger the war is, the more it's connected to the Mashiach. And here, Rav Kook mentions two parameters. Look what he says. He says, "Ulefi erka shel godel ha-milchama," to the extent, right, of the magnitude of the war, "bikamuta ve'echuta." What does it mean, "bikamuta ve'echuta"? Both quantitatively and qualitatively. What's the difference between how big a war is quantitatively and how big a war is qualitatively? Quantitatively is how many people are involved in the war. Right? Is it a war between two nations? Is it a world war, etc.? I mean, how many people are involved in the war? Echuta is the quality of the war in terms of how developed the weapons are, sort of how cruel it is, what the sides are doing to one another. So it says to Cook, to the extent of the magnitude of the war, both in terms of the quality and in terms of the quantity, the more that it is, the more it's revealing Mashiach, the more it's bringing us closer to Mashiach. As we said last week, this parak has two halves. The first half, which we just completed, is wars in general. And now the Rav is going to move into this war now. We said this war is which world? War? World War?
One.
World War One. Okay? Milchemet Olam, it's almost smack in the middle of the parak, second word in the line. Milchemet Olam shel achshav, tzipia nora'a, gdola, ve'amuka yeshba. Mitzuraf lechol gigulei hazmanim, v'horat keitz hamegulei shel hatyashvut eretz Yisrael. B'deah gdola, b'gvura atzuma, u'v'higayon amok v'choder, b'tshukat emet u'v'rayon bahir. Tzrichim lekabel et tochen hanisach shel or Hashem, hamitgale b'fu'ula nifla'a b'alilot hamilchamot halalu b'yichod. In a small war, the side that's wrong could actually win. Shalom Aleichem Avi. In a small war, the side that's wrong could actually win. The side that's a Russia has a the side of the rock could actually win. It's possible. On the other hand, when the bigger of the war that you're dealing with, when you're dealing with a big war, so what's the root of any big war? I'm not even talking about from a spiritual perspective. Stop in the world when you see there's a big war going on, right? Let's take now, right? Right now, different nations in the world are debating back and forth whether to go to war with
Syria.
What's the root of the decision to go to war with Syria, which is the same root of any war when there are multiple nations involved, almost always?
There's one wrong.
Which is that humanity as a whole is not willing to tolerate a certain extent of evil. And when there's a certain amount of evil, different nations are going to come together and say, enough is enough, we have to do something, we have to get involved. So in this specific war, the question is chemical weapons, not chemical weapons, but it doesn't make a difference. Just an example. The idea is when I have a big war, the root is, okay, is that human society is not willing to tolerate any more risks. And therefore, they have to get involved. And by definition, the Tzad of Tov is going to win. The Tzad of Tov is going to win. And that's what happened in World War One. Who lost? Which empire crumbled as a result of World War One? The Ottoman Empire crumbled. the Germans suffered serious blows, right, in terms of all kinds of fines that were against them and all kinds of sanctions that were against them that were very difficult. And then, they ended up leading to World War II. But here also we say. Now, Cook writes that the Milchemet Olam Shel Achshav is a tzipiya nora gdola. It's a huge tzipiya. Remember, if we spoke about it in the first line of the parak, Kesheish Milchama Gdola B'Olam Metorei Koach Mashiach, it awakens the Mashiach. So here he says there's a huge tzipiya. V'amuka, it's a deep tzipiya. Longing. And he says here it's mitzurah, it joins kol gilgulei hazmanim, v'orot ketzem gulei shkitoshu artisol. It joins all the longings, all the tzipiyot ad achshav. And being that we're almost up to the last week, another 2 days, we're going to be in the last week of the year, Tavshanayin Gimel. So it reminds me of something that the Mekubalim say. The Mekubalim say that the last week of the year has the potential to be metaken the entire year. What does that mean? Bezrat Hashem on this Yom Chamishi, starting Baruch Hu, right, on Wednesday night, is the last Yom Chamishi of Tavshanayin Gimel. Say the Mekubalim that in the last Yom Chamishi in Tavshanayin Gimel, you have the potential to elevate all of the Yimei Chamishi in the entire year. Meaning what happens in this Yom Chamishi ends up joining together with all the other Yom Chamishis, and it, along with it could pull it up in a higher Madrigal. It says, I've put the same thing here with the Tzipiyah Lishua. Meaning, the Tzipiyah Lishua that's going on now during World War I is a joint to all of the Zmanim and all those Tzipiyot together. It's the composite Tzipiyah. Why? What was so special here in World War I? There are two things that are happening simultaneously. First of all, Rav Kook said that the size of the war, okay, directly corresponds to the size of the revelation of the Mashiach. Now, in the history of the world, there was never a war that got anywhere near to World War I. Up to that time, right? Anyone have any idea of how many casualties there were in World War I? Soldiers, 10 million casualties. Add to that 8 million MIAs, missing in actions. So practically that means there are 18 million soldiers that were lost in the war. 21 million soldiers. These numbers are like off the charts. 21 million soldiers that were injured as a result of the war. And amongst civilian death total, add another 7 million. Including here in Yerushalayim, 25,000. And the Yerushalayim wasn't as big then as it was now, right? Huge numbers. There was never such a big war. Simultaneously, at the same time, what was going on here in Eretz Israel? What? Said, I'm not talking about in terms of the logistics of the war, but around those years are the years of the beginning of the flourishing of the Yeshuv here in Eretz Israel. Of the new Yishuv coming back. We take the famous Gemara in Sanhedrin, Adav Tzadichet, you have it here in Source Yod. Famous Gemara. Every Tzioni should know this Gemara. Ba'amar Rabbi Amma, Abba. It's not Amar Rabbi Elazar Baruch Hanina, but you should know it anyways. Ba'amar Rabbi Abba, Ein Lacha Keitz Megule Mizeh, Shenemar, Vatem Harei Yisrael, Fechem Tetnu, Perchem Tisau, La'ami Yisrael. Says that there's no more revealed sign of the coming of the Ketz at the end than the Pasuk, Atem HaRei Yisrael and Pechem Tethnu Perechem, the agriculture. And Rashi there explains, Megulam Yizeh, you have an source, Yud Aleph, Shetitin Eretz Yisrael Piriyah Ba'ayin Yafa, Az Yikarev HaKetz. Then when Eretz Yisrael begins to give off produce, agriculturally, success agriculturally, that is the clearest sign. Ein Lecha Ketz Megulay Yoter, there's no clearer sign. And that's exactly what's happening in these years. So that's exactly what's happening in the 1910s, a little before, a little bit after. And the two go hand in hand. And that's exactly what Rav Kook is saying that we have to understand and recognize. Is litzvot l'raglo shel Mashiach. You see these two things happening. You see the sign that the Gemara gives, that the agriculture and agriculture is a sign that Mashiach is coming. You see the big war. There's never been a war like that in the history of the world. Such a big war, chayevet laviyat adam. By definition, we spoke about why mitat zadim mechaper last week. It has to bring mankind and the entire world to a serious cheshbon and nefesh. Look at the lashonos that Rav Kook writes here. Bideya gdola, with a great knowledge, bigvura tzuma, right? With serious Gvura, Higayona Mok Vechoder, deep and penetrating logic, Chukat Emet, Rayon Bahir, right? True longing, clarity of thinking of an idea. Tzrichim lekabel tochen anisa she'or Hashem mitgaleh befula nifla b'elut ha'machmot al bichud. He says you have no choice but to understand, to comprehend what's going on, to read what's going on in front of your very eyes, right? Like we always say, v'techazen einenu. What's with techazen einenu? We already dying for Ga'al Yisrael. What are we dying for? Hashem techazen einenu. That Hashem should give us the chokhmah, bina and dat, to be able to open up our eyes and to see the gula being revealed in front of us. He says we have to be able to understand the content, right? The lofty content of the light of Hashem that's being revealed through these tremendous wars. Now, it doesn't mean that chas v'shalom, people should be demented and think that war is a positive thing. There are those that thought that way, right? Many German philosophers wrote about that. How war is a wonderful thing. It's very good for mankind. Survival of the fittest. It sharpens the human race. It builds. It's chazek, no pain, no gain. And war makes man a better man. It's sick in the head. Chas v'shalom, should we think such a thing? On the other hand, with emotional maturity, we could understand that even though war is a bad thing, we shouldn't hope for wars. War is a bad thing. Nonetheless, it has an important tafkid. Wars have an important tafkid. You ask, what should be in a person's feeling during a time of war or relating to war? So as an individual, it's something I have to be very, very sorry about. It's something that I have to cry about. I see the damage that's being done, destruction, death toll, injuries, etc. It's a very, very tragic thing. It's a sad thing. But on the level of the klal, I'm able to, and I should be able to understand the significance, and dafka mitchazek mizeh, dafka draw strength from the fact that at the end of the day, the wars are part of God's master plan to bring the war, to bring the world closer to Mashiach. Now, Rav Tzvi Yehuda, the Kohen Kok, writes, there's a serious difference between wars in Eretz Yisrael and wars in Chutz Aretz. Right now, Rav Kook is talking about wars in Chutz Aretz. He says, wars that take place in Chutz Aretz, we have to understand, we have to have emunah, we have to understand how it relates to God's plan in the world, etc., as Rav Kook is writing about here. But wars that take place in Eretz Yisrael, it's not about understanding, it's about halacha l'maisa, it's about doing. Wars here, chayvim lasot. Now, for someone that's involved in such a process, to understand what that means. That if you're involved in fighting wars, bechlal, in Eretz Yisrael, befrat, so if wars are revealing the Mashiach more and more, then fighting in Hashem's wars here in Eretz Yisrael is being a shutaf to Kadosh Baruch Hu in the bringing of the Mashiach. Add to that, if you're someone that grew up in Chutz Laretz, you come here to Eretz Yisrael, you participate in the Mechamos of Hashem. So now, as part of Kibbutz Galiot, you're coming here, and you're involved in bringing the Raglo of Mashiach closer and closer and closer, which is mamish, an amazing, amazing, amazing sort. So, I think that there's nothing that's more representative of the Gula, so, than someone coming from Chutz Aretz, joining Tzahal, and being part of that mission. Even someone that doesn't should understand still the value of what it means, of what it is and what the wars are. Concludes Rav Kook. Ba'al milchamot, zorei tzedakot, matzmiach yeshuot, borei refuot, norati lot, adon hanifla'ot, hamechadesh b'tuvo b'chol yom tamid ma'aseh b'reshit, or chadash al tzion ta'ir, v'nizkeh kulanu, mehira lo'oro. Where is that familiar from? Brichos Kriyashma, right? Yep. So Tzvi Yehuda told a story that in Tafresh Ayin Dalet, which we said was the year, remember we said last week, Ridat Adama, was the year of the breakout of World War I. Remember, they made Aliyah in Tafresh Samech Dalet, right? The Cook family made Aliyah in 1904. The Hanhala of the Gudat Yisrael was placing a tremendous amount of pressure, he says, was placing a tremendous pressure on Abba, i.e. on Rav Kook, Rav Aaron Yitzchak Kohen Kok, that it should come to Frankfurt. There was a big kennis there of Rabbanim. There was a big kennis there of Rabbanim to deal with all kinds of issues of Gedolei Torah, da 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 da. Rav Kook said, no way, no how. I'm here in Eretz Yisrael. I'm staying in Eretz Yisrael. I'm not interested in going to Chutz Aretz. have the Canaanites without me. You should be Batzlacha, Bracha Batzlacha. And they kept sending letters after letters and delegations after delegations to try to convince Rav Kook to come to Frankfurt for this Kennis. So he didn't agree, and he didn't agree, and he didn't agree, until he had a certain health issue. As a result of his health issue, his doctors told him that he had to go to get treatment in Chutz Aretz. And once he was in Chutz Aretz anyways, so he ends up going to this Kennis. And Rav Kook was actually there in Germany at the outbreak of the war. And they were there, the Rabbanim together. And the Rabbanim were asking, you know, what's going to be? Now there's a war. It's a huge war. What's it going to be? How's it going to affect us, etc.? You know what Rav Kook's answer was? Later he penned it in at the end of Perek Aleph of Orot Melchama. Rav Kook said, you want to know what's going to be? He said every single day in davening. Baal Melchamot, Zorea Tzedakot, Matzmiach, Yeshuot, etc., etc., etc. The dafka, the Baal Melchamot, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is behind all the Melchamot, through the Melchamot, is Matzmiach Yeshuot. If you remember, it's very similar to what Rav Kook said to his own family. Remember last week we told the story of Rav Kook's family that said to Rav Kook at the time that the war broke out in Tisha B'Av, so everyone's freaking out, what's going to be, what's going to be, what's going to be. And Rav Kook said, there's nothing to be afraid of. The dafka out of this war is going to matzmiach Yeshuot Gdolot to Am Yisrael. You see, he said that Orot is a sefer that tries to teach us how to see things in the world through the proper perspective of Emunah. Rav Kook had clear, healthy vision, healthy perspectives, and that's the perspective he had when he saw what was going on. Now, what does this mean here? Hamachadesh betuvo b'chol yom tamid. That Kadosh Baruch Hu was mechadesh everything through His goodness every single day. So sometimes Hashem's goodness is through bracha, and sometimes Hashem's goodness in the world comes about in a roundabout way through milchama. If you look in Source Yud Gimel, you have in your Makaros, there's a Gemara there in Pesachim, which Mustama we've spoken about on different occasions. There, the Gemara says, "V'haya Hashem l'malach kol aretz v'yom hu Hashem achalush machad." Ask the Gemara, Atua in the lave chadhu. What does it mean by Yom Ahu that Hashem is going to be one? What, nowadays Hashem is not one? Chas v'shal. Amar Rabbi Acha Baruch Hanina lo ko olam hazeh, olam haba olam hazeh. Al b'sorot tov ot omer baruch hatov ha-meitiv. Al b'sorot tov ot omer baruch dayan ha-met. Olam haba kulo hatov ha-meitiv. That's all. Rabbi Acha, Sarah Baruch Hanina said, that this world is different from the world to come. In this world, on the good news, we say, tov ha-meitiv. And bad news, we say, baruch dayan ha-met. But in the world to come, we're going to say, tov ha-meitiv. Why? Because really, everything's good. Like Rabbi Akiva taught us, Kol man da avi rachmana, let's have it. Everything that Hashem does is for the best. Sometimes I understand why, sometimes I don't understand why. Objectively, it's all good. Objectively, it's all good. So why in this world do we say Dina Emet and bad news? Because we can't make a baruch atov ha-meitiv on something that to me seems bad. But here, that's what Cook's teaching us in the first parak, is that wars... I don't understand why it's tragic, it's sad, etc., etc., etc. But at the end of the day, it's every single day, God's bringing more good into the world. Sometimes it seems to us like a bracha, sometimes it seems to us like a melchama, but either way. At the end of the day, when push comes to shove, Rav Kook was dead on. He was 100% right. What's the results of the war? With all the fighting and all the different wars and all the countries involved, more or less borders stayed the same. Everything went back to the way it was, but there was one major, major, major significant thing that happened, which was, we already mentioned, the Turkish Empire fell apart. And as a result, what piece of land was left without any owners? Israel. Kilo by chance. Right? But that's part of God's design. And once Eretz Israel is left without any land, so now the stage was set for the Balfour Declaration that was sent to Baron Rothschild, towards the end of World War, and Rav Kook himself was involved politically in what happened. And that was a result of the war. Exactly as he said. Okay. If this is true in the time that Rav Kook's writing in World War I, now we have more perspective after what happened in World War II and the declaration of the state in 48 and everything that's been since, is how the wars are bringing us closer and closer. If you look in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadi Zayin Amud Aleph, and with this we'll conclude, you have in Source Yud Bet. Tanu Rabbanan, Shavua Shem Ben David Babo, a 7-year period when Ben David Mashiach is going to be coming, Shana Rishana Mitkayim Mikra Zeh, ימתרתי על עיר אחת, על עיר החלום, השנייה, חצי רב, חצי רב, משלחים, שלישית רב גדול, ומתים אנשים ונשים מטף, חסידים, אנשי מעשה ותורה, משלחחת מלומדיה, רביעית צובע ואינו צובע, וחמישית צובע גדול, ואוכלים ושותים ושמחים, ותורה חוזר ללומדיה, והשישית קולות, בשביעית מלחמות, במוצאי שביעית, בן דוד מת. The bottom line is that the chain of wars that we've been in, as a nation, after World War I, with World War II, and the Holocaust, and all the tragedies, right, through the War of Independence, and the Sinai Campaign, and the Yom Kippur War, which is coming up in a couple of weeks, is going to be the 40th year anniversary. I saw some flyers, some interesting things going on in Yeshiva. I recommend taking advantage of it. I tried it myself. Yom Kippur War, right, the Six-Day War, and the Yom Kippur War, and all the things, one after the next, is exactly what we're learning here. Is that when you see Mechamol Gidolot, Bo'olam, Mitorer Koach HaMashiach, the Koach HaMashiach is awakening, and as those that have a Muna, we have to learn to see the Koach HaMashiach, Be'ezrat Hashem.